Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack. I'm Chris. I'm Steve Parker. Today I'll be reading from the January 29th edition of People Magazine. Let's take a look at the front page, is what we love to do. Oh, there's the boys. Jason and Travis, the real Kelce brothers. How the history-making NFL superstars balance work, love, and family. What keeps the fierce competitors so close, and what's next for both of them. They're each other's biggest fans. And a shot of the two of them, excuse me, they look very similar. Jason on the left has a heavier beard. There's some gray in it too, brown and gray. Cropped hair, kind of disheveled and sticking up a little bit. And to the right, doesn't look much different, except Travis has a little tighter beard. Don't see much gray on him. Both of them are smiling big time. And let's see, to the right we see Mom Donna is holding pictures. It's her mom, blonde hair, holding pictures of both of them. It's almost like, looks like their heads are on popsicle sticks. And Selena Gomez is in love and super happy, a little inset of her. Kendra Wilkinson on Playboy, divorce, and mental health crisis. I was spiraling out of control. And those are the photos that we find on the front of the latest issue of People magazine. And let's go inside and take a look at the boys. Travis and Jason Kelce, brotherly love. We see, looks like Kelce on the left is leaning over, turned in, and giving his brother a big peck on the cheek, and a big smooch. And best friends, fierce competitors, polar opposites, kindred spirits, the biggest names in pro football share an unbreakable bond. And the story here is by David Walters. And, yep, I see they're each holding up their own jersey. Travis and Jason after a game at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City in 2017. Chicken grease, an old hockey skate, mildew, a flip-flop. On a recent episode of their New Heights podcast, the Kelce brothers are discussing what people might assume Jason smells like. The conversation, inspired by their discovery of a growing unsanctioned online industry of candles claiming to be Travis-scented, most of which involved conventional ingredients like cedarwood and patchouli, quickly goes where many of their conversations goes. That's to say, barreling headlong off the rails. Can we make a candle for Jason? Can we have a smell-off? Travis demands, giggling before delving further into his olfactory expectations for his older brother. You look like you smell like a wet boot. Jason, devoting himself to a Google search, responds, you don't think there's anyone out there looking for smells like Jason Kelce candles? Travis, feeling generous, tosses out a couple of alternative top notes. Cinnamon, apple cider. There's a bunch with my likeness on them, but none of them say, smells like, Jason concludes in mock defeat. I feel like people would be turned off by a candle that smells like me. At this, both break into fits of laughter. The Kelce's style of brotherly banter would sound right at home in a mid-aughts Judd Apatow comedy, but it was forged into a modest backyard in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, where the two grew up competing and teasing with equal zeal. I've been listening to the shtick between these two since they were toddlers, their father, Ed Kelce, 72, told People last October. The way they interact on the podcast, that's the way they always been, and that's always been fun to watch. It's this easy charm and undeniable authenticity that have made Jason, age 36, and Travis, 34, much more than NFL's most recognizable and most bunkable brothers. If bankable brothers. If last February's Super Bowl 57, in which Travis's Kansas City Chiefs defeated Jason's Philadelphia Eagles, gave us a healthy dose of Kelce mania, the ensuing months crammed with their chart-topping podcast, Jason's record-breaking Amazon Prime documentary, Kelce, a slew of endorsements, and Travis's high-profile relationship with Taylor Swift, which helped boost the NFL's female viewership by more than 2 million, have only supercharged the fascination. It's been really surreal and a fun ride to be on, says their mother, Donna Kelce, 71, being able to be with the kids, the experiences, the places, enjoying people I've never met before. There are definitely perks that come with the notoriety. And I'm very happy that they get to enjoy the fruits of their labor, because it's been a tough ride to get where they are now. Donna says it was their small family that cemented their son's fierce commitment to each other. My brother didn't have any children, and my husband's sister didn't have any, she recalls. Jason and Travis used to yell at me because they didn't have any cousins to play with on Christmas. We were tight-knit, always trying to help each other as much as we could. Notably, it was Jason who stuck out his neck for his younger brother and college teammate at the University of Cincinnati after Travis failed a drug test for marijuana in 2009 and was dismissed from the game, a blow that could have ended his professional career before it began. I knew my brother had gone to the coaches and said, if you give him a second chance, he won't screw it up. Travis recounts in Kelsey. He put his word on the line. As Jason sees it, he simply responded in the manner he was raised. The only thing I did was the same thing my parents did. At the time of adversity, my job was to be there to fulfill that same belief and confidence in Travis. That's my role. Duty to family was ingrained by Ed and Donna, who have admitted that they stayed together for years for the sake of their children. They eventually divorced after Travis left for college in 2008. Today, continuing the divide-and-conquer lifestyle of sports parents, they make it a point to attend as many of their sons' games as possible, switching off when necessary. The most important thing is to value your children, and to do that, you have to spend time with them, explains Donna, who traveled 1,300 miles in a single day last season to catch a playoff doubleheader. It may seem simple, but if they know you took the time to come and watch whatever endeavor, sports, arts, music, you show them you value them as human beings. That's all you need to do as a parent. As Travis told People last April, my entire upbringing was about learning to fuel people. I was always taught to be a fountain, not a drain, to provide something instead of taking. Jason, of course, gets to pay those parental lessons forward every day to daughters Wyatt, age 4, and Elliot, age 2, and Bennett, 11 months, whom he shares with Kylie McDevitt, age 31, his wife of 5 years. Kyle is very sweet and level-headed, says another source. Everybody loves her, and they're great partners. Jason has a crazy schedule, but they balance it really well. They make it all work. And while Travis is content to play the role of uncle for now, he's the absolute best you can imagine. He's all in, Kylie told People in 2023. Ed can see beyond the blinding lights of his son's relationship with Taylor Swift and recognize someone who shares the Kelsey's small-town values. The first time I met Taylor, he said, we're sitting in the luxury suite, and she starts picking up empty bottles, cans, plates that were scattered around, and I'm thinking, I don't think she got the diva memo. To me, that really said a whole lot. The NFL playoffs now roll on for Travis, but not Jason. The Chiefs beat the Miami Dolphins on January 13th to advance to the divisional round, and the Eagles lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on January 15th. But the next chapter for both looms large, particularly as, after 13 seasons, Jason contemplates retirement. He announced his intention to return after last season, saying, I ain't F blank, 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 I ain't done yet, exclamation point. Jason could run for mayor of Philadelphia and win, says a source close to the family. The city is so obsessed with him. Aside from being a superstar athlete, Philly embraces him because of who he is. Just a good, lovable family dude. Travis, on the other hand, recently shut down rumors that he might hang up his cleats, saying he has no desire to stop anytime soon. When that day comes, however, there's little reason to think he'll fade into the background. Recently, his management team revealed to the New York Times their vision to make Travis as famous as The Rock, referencing Dwayne Johnson's transition from WWE star to A-list actor. He really enjoyed Saturday Night Live, a source says of Travis's March 2023 hosting stint. He had a blast. After he retires, he wants to lean into acting and hosting. For now, Travis will continue to hone his charisma on the New Heights podcast, That's the name of the podcast, New Heights. Opposite his toughest critic and worthiest foil. They're just as competitive as adults today, always jabbing at each other about who's the best, says Donna, laughing. It doesn't stop. They're each other's biggest fans. Yeah, great story with these boys. All kinds of pictures in there, the two of them kind of roughhousing around and shots of them through the years. Oh, my gosh, so many pictures, so many pictures. Let's see, ball is life. Basketball was an early passion for Travis that we see here with Jason at a May 2023 NBA game, but he wasn't a good dribbler, recalls Donna. Then we see him as little kids. Repping the dog, D-A-W-G, repping the dog pound. Donna says her boys, in an undated photo here, listened but sometimes got sidetracked. Good sports. Back in our hockey days, Travis on the left here captioned his undated photo on Instagram. It just kind of pictures of them through there. Oh, yeah, there's Taylor. All smiles. We see Kelsey here. They're really happy and having fun together, but still seeing where it goes, the source says of Travis and Swift. And then we see them kissing each other. She's giving him a big kiss on the cheek. Eagle with a full nest. We see Jason and wife Kylie met in 2015 on the dating app Tinder and now share daughters Wyatt, 4, Elliot, 2, and Bennett, 11 months. And let's see this one. Kendra Wilkinson's mental health battle. And this is titled, I Was Dying of Depression. Reality star opens up about her Hugh Hefner past, managing debilitating depression, and the new life she's building for her two kids. The story is by Danielle Bacher, or Bacher, B-A-C-H-E-R. And got a beautiful picture of her there. She's got kind of light brown hair with some blonde in it. Soft smile, eyes looking right at the camera. I think maybe hazel or grayish eyes. She's wearing a gray outfit, kind of like, it looks like she's on a beach, so snuggled up around her neck a little bit. I'm living now, says Wilkinson, in Newport Beach, California, on December 19th of her journey, facing depression and anxiety. I really faced myself and my demons. While in the midst of a panic attack in early September, Kendra Wilkinson felt like she was going to die. I was in a state of panic. I didn't know what was going on in my head and my body or why I was crying, she recalls of the terrifying episode, during which she was rushed to a Los Angeles area hospital with the help of her ex-husband, former NFL player Hank Basket. I hit rock bottom and I was dying of depression. 4 months after her hospitalization, the reality star distinctly remembers her feelings of despair. I felt like I wasn't strong enough to live anymore, says Wilkinson, age 38, growing emotional in a family friend's Newport Beach, California home during her first interview since the mental health crisis. While it's been 20 years since she first rose to fame at age 18 as one of Hugh Hefner's girlfriends on the reality series The Girls Next Door, Wilkinson is just beginning to work through the damage done by her time in his controversial world. It's not easy to look back at my 20s. I've had to face my demons, says Wilkinson, who returned to the hospital a week after her September 6th hospitalization to begin antipsychotic medication. Playboy really messed my whole life up. She also underwent outpatient therapy 3 times a week at UCLA, tackling unresolved trauma largely stemming from her time living in the Playboy mansion and from her painful divorce from Basquette, age 41, in 2019. I'm so proud of myself for battling this. My two kids need me, and I can't give up, says Wilkinson, of finding strength in her son, Hank the 4th, age 14, and daughter Elijah Mary, age 9. I'm in the rebuilding process, and I have a lot to look forward to. And continuing on with her story, for weeks leading up to her hospitalization, Wilkinson, who has previously opened up about her suicide attempts in high school and suffering from panic attacks during the breakdown of her marriage, hadn't been eating or sleeping. She felt insurmountable pressure trying to provide for her kids while pursuing a new chapter in real estate, and she had cut ties with many of her close friends following her public divorce because of trust issues. I'm my own worst critic. I was just sabotaging myself, thinking, what if I'm not taken seriously in my real estate world because of Playboy, says Wilkinson, who earned her real estate license in 2020 and landed a Discovery Plus show, Kendra Sells Hollywood. I didn't want my past to affect my new business, and having it come up was triggering while still trying to gain momentum with her new career. Since 2022, she sold 5 homes ranging from $2 million to $6 million with luxury real estate company Douglas Elliman, E-L-L-I-M-A-N. Wilkinson was devastated when her new show was canceled last year after 2 seasons. I was isolating, hiding, blaming myself, blaming the world, she says. I was spiraling out of control and felt like I wasn't strong enough to survive. As she continues therapy, she feels protective of her younger self. I was on drugs at age 15, and I had a lot of issues, says Wilkinson, who has been largely estranged from her parents. Dad Eric, a retired biotech businessman, and Mom Patty, a former Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader, throughout her life and no longer speaks to her younger brother, Colin. While her mom appeared on her show, Kendra Top, which ran for 6 seasons until 2017, they're no longer in touch. Reality TV can create ends of relationships, and it created a possible end to mine and my mother's. When she left home at 18 to move into the Playboy Mansion, Wilkinson was excited for a wild new life. I was young, fun, and dumb. I made a crazy choice to live with an older man, she says. Now, two decades after she and Hefner first began dating, Wilkinson has more perspective. I got into deep regret afterwards. I got to that point where I started hating myself and asking, why did I have sex with Hugh Hefner? She says of the publisher, who is 60 years her senior. I hated my boobs, my body, my face. I got to that point where I started hating myself. She's learned that her experiences in the mansion and the toll it took on her self-esteem were bound to follow her into future romantic relationships. Mostly single since her split from Basquette, Wilkinson's finally feels ready to date again. I shamed myself and stayed away from anything sex. I almost became celibate, she says, of the past few years. I'm going to start to have fun, though. Still, her priority remains her children. I look back at what happened and where I felt like I had to date an older man at 18. What drove me to that place, and why did I choose to do that, she says. These are things I'm trying to correct in my parenting to my daughter. What can I do to show her that she's more than that? She's also proud of how far she and Basquette have come. Him driving me to the hospital that day was out of care. It wasn't out of marriage, she says, of her relationship with her ex. We're co-parenting really well. That's what divorce is about. We're doing a really good job. Wilkinson insists any lingering hurt from their messy split. Basquette faced cheating allegations, which he denied during their nearly 10-year marriage, is in the past. Honestly, that stuff fades through time, she says. To accept help and for Hank to drive me to the hospital was a huge day in both of our lives. It was a big day for my family and kids. Standing in the sand for the final setup of her beachside photo shoot, Wilkinson is beaming. I have so much good in front of me. I have 2 of the most amazing kids who are good, solid human beings. And I feel like I just pressed a rebirth, she says, taking a deep breath. Whatever that hurricane I was part of is in the far distance now. They had a lot of pictures of her there, beautiful shots. Her with Hugh Hefner, her with family, with the kids. Let's see what else we have. There's a little short one here. What I wish I could tell you, this is Melissa Rivers to Joan Rivers. The only child of the iconic comedian reflects on what her mom would love and loathe about the world today. And it's a great shot of the two of them. And Joan, beautiful, with a red suit, and her daughter is, she's on the right, and her daughter's on the left as we're looking at it. Dark brown hair and a beautiful smile. Both of them have beautiful smiles. They have their heads together, just totally like loving holding on to each other. Then in the left-hand inset photo, there's a small shot of they're both on the red carpet, how they love to do that. And Joan, of course, was always, leading the charge there. And Melissa, right along with her. Melissa's gown is a little bit off-white, and Joan's is a gray. It's been nearly 10 years since you died, and I still miss you the most when something absolutely ridiculous happens. So many of our calls started with you saying, okay, so are you ready for this? I wish you could see what an amazing person your grandson Cooper, who's 23, has become. He's smart, he's funny, he has empathy. But I know what would make you happiest, that for all the trouble I gave you, he gave it back in spades. Well, well played, karma. Things have changed in 10 years. You'd be pleased that women spoke out about the industry and the marginalized communities got a voice. You'd like the body. You'd like body acceptance, but you would also think Ozempic is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You wouldn't like cancel culture. You wouldn't like celebrities not being able to laugh at themselves. You'd say, God, would everybody lighten up? We're entertainers. You would like my fiance, Steve. He's kind and he gets me. But I also know that if you weren't dead already, you would die to know I'm getting married again. Still, you would like the ring. I still hear your voice all the time, especially when I'm about to get upset. I so clearly hear, oh, Melissa, please just stop. Get over it. The world has gotten scarier, though. You'd be disappointed by a lot of things happening. But as hard as it is to find things funny right now, if anyone could find a way and point out the absurd to make people laugh, it would be you. That's a just great little story of something like if she wrote herself as if she were speaking to her mom. And the caption and the picture of the two of them with their arms around each other, a special bond. My mother always said, if you can't laugh at the dark times, you will not get through them, says Melissa with Joan in 1990 and Inset at the 2006 Oscars. Oh, we can't let this one go by. Anthony Hopkins, I try not to act my age. This story is by Eric Anderson. The 86-year-old Oscar winner stays young at heart thanks to a busy schedule and newfound social media fame. Sir Anthony Hopkins knows the secret to staying young. Just flop the two numbers in your age and no one will be the wiser. I'm 86, so I've reversed it. I'm 68, really, he says with a twinkle in his eye and a smile crossing his lips. The two-time Oscar winner pauses before adding in his elegant Welsh accent, I feel like I'm 68. In fact, Hopkins keeps a schedule like a man who's 28. I try not to act my age, he explains. This year alone, the esteemed actor appears in three movies, including the newly released drama Freud's Last Session, in which he plays father of psychoanalysis Sigmund Freud. He also recently wrapped the thriller Locked, channeling his wicked side as a man who traps a would-be thief in his car. I'm so lucky to be working at my age, continues Hopkins, who seems surprisingly nonplussed that he's offered roles, even though he's just won his second Best Actor Oscar for The Father 3 years ago. They still seem to send me the scripts. I think, well, good. Certainly seems like things are going his way. So, all right, let's see what else we can find. And let's take a look at the five things we're talking about. Number one, Top Gun 3 in the works. Tom Cruise is feeling the need for speed. Again, following the smash success of Top Gun Maverick, co-writer Aaron Kruger is prepping the script for a third film, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Number two, rest in peace, Fruit Stripe Gum. There goes a peach of our hearts. Fruit Stripe Gum, which came in flavors melon, lemon, cherry, orange, and peach smash. It's being discontinued after 50 years, says candy company Ferrara. I remember that stuff so well. Number three, Diana Ross's a modeling gig. Stop in the name of chic. Diana Ross, age 79, is the face of St. Laurent's spring 2024 campaign. My mama is fire, hoping to mature in this direction, gushed her daughter, Tracy Ellis Ross. Number four, Keanu's novel, inspired by Berserker, B-R-Z-R-K-R, a comic book series Reeves first released in 2021. He's now set to publish The Book of Elsewhere with co-author China Miaville in July. The series tells the story of an immortal warrior's fight through the ages, he told GMA. And number five, a royal chicken adoption. Ellen DeGeneres found a new home for Sinky, one of her chickens that was being bullied by its coop mates after a leg injury. Friends Prince Harry and Meghan Markle had room for one more, the generous posted. What have we got up next? How about the, let's take a look at the scoop. Lindsay Lohan, all about her Mean Girls cameo. You can't sit with them, but Lindsay Lohan can. The star of 2004's Mean Girls has a fetch cameo in the new movie musical, sharing a scene with transfer student Caddy, who's Angoury, A-N-G-O-U-R-I-E, Rice, the role she played in the original. Lohan, age 37, was pregnant with son Luai, L-U-A-I, now 6 months old, when she filmed her scene as the moderator of the Mathletes competition. I was trying to think of something that you wouldn't expect, screenwriter and co-star Tina Fey told Entertainment Weekly. Lohan got cheers at the New York City premiere on January 8th, but later, let it be known, she didn't appreciate one particular joke in the movie. Her rep said she was hurt and disappointed by a reference to fire crotch, an insult oil heir Brandon Davis hurled at her in 2006. That little story there from Eric Anderson. And another one from Scoop. Lisa Marie Presley, her family 1 year later. Jerry Schilling, a near lifelong friend of the Presley family, remembers being in the hospital when Priscilla Presley gave birth to Lisa Marie Presley, her only child with husband Elvis in 1968. Schilling, 81, also remembers Lisa Marie's last words to him on January 10th of 2023, just 2 days before she died at age 54. She said, "Jerry Schilling, I love you." The talent manager recalls of their final night together, a trip to the Golden Globes to support the Baz Luhrmann biopic, Elvis. I can't believe she's gone. Lisa Marie's loved ones have learned to live a new normal in the years since her shocking death, which officials said in July was caused by a small bowel obstruction. Her daughter, Riley Keough, age 34, reached the settlement agreement in May with grandmother Priscilla, age 78, over Lisa Marie's estate, making Riley the sole trustee, and the pair showed off their strong bond at the Emmy Awards on January 15th when they walked the red carpet together. Lisa Marie was also mom to twin daughters Harper and Finley Lockwood, age 15, and her son Benjamin Keough, who died in 2020. While Schilling praises Riley for making sure the family stays together, amid tragedy, he adds that the loss has been tough on Priscilla. She's coping as best as she can. She has tried to continue on and is doing a good job of doing that, but she's emotionally torn up inside. Even though Lisa Marie has been gone for a year, Schilling is in disbelief at times. I miss her laugh and that little smile, he says. There are a lot of times I'll think, I wonder what Lisa's going to think of this. Then I go, oh my God. There's just such a huge vacuum. And it's story by Rachel DeSantis with reporting by Marissa Charles. And I think that's going to just about do it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the January 29th issue of People Magazine. I'm Steve Parker. So long until next time.